Hello and welcome to the Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football DFS version of the podcast. My name is John Tsai. I'm a fantasy football contributor to Pro Football Weekly. You can find me on Twitter at JSolly. I'm joined by my co-host, our FanDuel expert and fantasy football contributor, Kyle Neighbors, sports editor of the Northwest Herald. You can follow him on Twitter at Kyle Neighbors. Kyle, it's week one of DFS. I'm excited and a little bit lost. How about you?
I'm more than a little bit lost here. I spent the entire summer kind of breaking down these rosters and thought I was going to be good going into week one. But just like every year when you get to week one, you start having your doubts, and there's so much variance when you get here. That's particularly at the start of the season. I keep looking down my roster and saying that's not good enough. How about you?
Yeah, you know, I wrote in my column in the Pro Football Weekly insert, which you can see in your Northwest Herald, the Daily Herald, Chicago Sun-Times, all over the area, that it's really okay to be contrarian in week one. Like, if you think a play is a good play, go for it. Because, like you said, there's so much variance in week one. You can talk yourself into and out of pretty much any play this week, I feel like.
Yeah, I in particular, not just the first week, but probably about the first 4 weeks, I will definitely be going contrarian. I'm trying to get away from chalky guys, particularly guys that have had a lot of buzz over this summer, which I'm sure we'll talk about a few of those here today.
Definitely. So we're going to have a little buy or sell segment to start, and then we're going to get into some of our favorite plays before we head out. So, Kyle, I want you to buy or sell. LeSean McCoy is just as good a play as Le'Veon Bell or David Johnson in GPPs this week.
That's a loaded question, kind of, because there's going to be a lot of people that want to jam Bell and David Johnson into their lineup, and I can't really tell them that it's a bad idea. Clearly, they both have better matchups than LeSean McCoy. For all the talk about how bad the New York Jets are going to be, they were really good against the run last year. But the flip side of that is they're the Jets. Buffalo's at home. They're probably going to be leading. The game script sets up perfectly for LeSean McCoy. So if you have a lot of people that are going to be flocking up to Bell and Johnson, and even if they take just one of them, that's going to eat up a lot of salary, that if you can get McCoy at a low ownership, let's say, I don't know, what do you think? I'm going under 15%.
Yeah, I think between 10 and 15% ownership for McCoy is about right.
See now, and we're talking about contrarian plays, I think that's a good pivot down.
Yeah, I'm buying this. I think LeSean McCoy is guaranteed to get 25 touches. He doesn't have Mike Gillisley behind him anymore. It's Mike Tolbert behind him. It is fat Mike Tolbert behind him. And Buffalo is a 9-point favorite at home against the Jets defense that, while still good, just traded away Sheldon Richardson, one of their best run stoppers. So I think he's just as good in GPPs because he's going to have lower ownership than Bell or David Johnson, and because he's cheaper. I think that he has the capability of putting up maybe not as good of a raw point total, but on a point per dollar basis, I think he's right up there with Bell and DJ in GPPs.
Yeah, and you know, I look for running backs that can catch the ball too. They're going to be out there for all three downs. And this looks like a situation where the Buffalo Bills have Jordan Matthews, hasn't been on the practice field all summer, trying to get into practice here and get ready for this game. Got a rookie in Zay Jones. You don't know what you're going to get out of the receiving corps. You're going to see Tyrod Taylor probably dumping it down a lot to LeSean McCoy. I think it's realistic that you see LeSean McCoy with anywhere from 5 to 8 receptions in this as well.
Yeah, and especially if you're in a full point PPR like DraftKings, that makes it all the more valuable. If you're playing cash, obviously you have to get up to Bell or DJ, but I don't think you have to do that in GPPs this week. So letter next, buy or sell. Larry Fitzgerald is a top 5 wide receiver this week on a point per dollar basis. Kyle, what do you think about that?
At some point this has to stop, right? How old is Larry now? I mean, he's getting up.
He's 32.
You know, he's gotten off to quick starts the last 2 years. They're playing a Detroit defense that is not good, that they're going to give up a lot of points, and they did give up a lot of points to slot receivers last year. You know what? I'm going to sell. I think he can be a top 5 receiver. I don't feel good about it, and I think that he's going to be too heavily owned for me. I think that's a fade.
Yeah, I'm buying. I think on a point per dollar basis, Larry Fitzgerald is one of your top 5 wide receivers this week because he's gotten off to fast starts early in his early in the season since he's hit like 29. So I'm not playing Larry Fitzgerald later in the season, but I'm playing old guys early. Old guys are fine plays early. The later you go in the season, the further I'm getting away from old guys. The Lions were terrible against slot receivers, like we've said. And I think that, you know, Carson Palmer is going to find him. I think that's the Lions defense is going to funnel things into the slot, and Fitzgerald's going to be there. I think Fitzgerald makes his way into the top five.
Well, here's a reason I the get off Fitzgerald is I think that I mean we saw it last year with Detroit. They try and limit opponents' possession. I mean they just ground not really ground. I mean they were awful running the ball last year, but they take up a lot of time. Detroit that is on offense. I think opposing offenses had the fewest drives in the league against Detroit last year, and I expect Arizona to be leading. So I think that takes away from the amount of chances you're going to the amount of targets that Larry Fitzgerald's going to have. And I don't know how much Larry Fitzgerald is on DraftKings, but looking over on FanDuel, he's 6,400. In the same price range, I can get Martavius Bryant, Kelvin Benjamin, or Eric Decker, who I all think have better matchups, actually. And if you're playing GPPs, I'm looking for ceiling guys. And while Larry Fitzgerald's probably going to get 5 receptions for 50 yards and probably a touchdown in that matchup, I'm looking for guys that can get me more than 20 points.
He's 5,900 on DraftKings. He's right around Martavis Bryant, Terrell Pryor, Michael Crabtree, guys like that. So I still think it's a really darn good play. But yeah, Detroit does like to play keep away, so it is his chances will be limited compared to other wide receivers, but I think his efficiency will make up for that.
I think you can lock him into cash games though.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. All right, Kyle, who is your top low dollar wide receiver? And I'm going to give you three options here. I think they're the three of the most talked about options this week for low dollar wide receivers, value guys. If you're looking to jam in Le'Veon Bell, you know, DJ, McCoy, Antonio Brown, Julio, etc. Robbie Anderson of the Jets, Paul Richardson of the Seahawks, or Kendall Wright of the Bears. Who's your top low-dollar wide receiver?
All right. Well, first off, let's go ahead and just toss Robbie Anderson out. I'm not touching the Jets offense.
Okay.
So let's get him out of the equation there. Nothing. I want nothing to do with that Jets offense probably all year unless Matt Forte gets cut, and then I'll start looking at running back a little bit more. Outside of that, so it comes down to what is Kendall Wright versus Paul Richardson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to go with Paul Richardson. And, you know, I'm going with that because, one, is I've done my research and on multiple different websites. It almost sounds like Kendall Wright's going to be chalky. Like the ownership is going to be high on him, which starts to scare me a little bit. And then I look over at Paul Richardson, and you and I actually talked about this the other day. Green Bay has a sneaky high implied total. I think it's up near 27 points. It might even be above that now.
It's one of the highest totals, game totals in the league this week.
And Green Bay plays well at home. I think that Green Bay can jump out to the lead in the first half here, and Seattle's going to be throwing the ball. And Paul Richardson is the number two receiver in Seattle right now.
He is. So if you think that Aaron Rodgers and company are going to go off or at least meet their implied total expectation against the Seahawks, naturally, the Seahawks are going to have to throw a little bit, and that brings Paul Richardson into play.
Yeah, and I mean they're the same price on FanDuel. They're both 5,200. I'm talking about Kendall Wright and Paul Richardson. Now, I'm expecting, from what I'm reading, I'm expecting Kendall Wright ownership to be over 20%. On the same side, I'm expecting Paul Richardson to be under 10%. So I think that's, if you're playing GPPs, I think that's the better option.
Yeah, I think it's Kendall Wright and Cash and Paul Richardson and GPP. I actually do like Robbie Anderson this week, though. I think that because of the game script, the Jets are going to have to throw. Anderson is his one real talent is his speed. And the Buffalo defense has 5 new guys in the secondary. They let both their starting quarterbacks go, right? So, and they just traded for E.J. Gaines. He hasn't even been there a month. So I think Anderson can slip loose for one or two, you know, long routes that he's going to have a chance on. And he's got Josh McCown throwing in the ball. And McCown, you know, isn't good, but he's serviceable. He can throw a halfway decent deep ball to an open guy. So I think that's why I'm on Robbie Anderson this week as a viable option, certainly in GPPs, And if you really need to in cash, I'm not against it.
I would not touch Robbie Anderson. You know, like I said, I really wish we had some clarity with the Jets running back situation. The Bills' run defense is atrocious. I mean, you saw it time and time again last year. Twice, the two times they faced the Jets, the first time Matt Forte ripped them apart, and the second time Bilal Powell ripped them apart. At this point, I think Powell has more upside. I don't even know why Matt Forte's even on that team with the way they're rebuilding, but I wish we had some clarity there, because if I knew Powell was going to get 20 to 25 touches, I'd have him in lineups.
Yeah, I agree. If there was some sort of clarity, I would be all over it. But the fact that Forte is still there and still apparently a viable part of the Jets offense, I'm shying away from.
Yeah, Forte played the entire first half of the third preseason game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I'll be playing Bilal Powell later this year, but not this week.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, so we're going to go over some of our favorite plays: quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. Kyle, let's start at quarterback. Who are some of your favorite plays on FanDuel this week?
All right. Well, so we're talking about GPPs here, mm-hmm. and obviously there's a ton of guys that can get you 20 points, right? And the quarterback, the pricing is similar enough. You have to look for a ceiling guy is how I always go about it. So I'm looking at Aaron Rodgers at home at 8,300. Against a Seattle defense that I think is overrated. It is not the same defense that it was, and I know they were banged up last year, but Aaron Rodgers had good success against Seattle at home. I like Cam Newton. I do worry about Russ with him not playing much this preseason, but I think they're against San Francisco. That is a good pick. And, of course, both guys in the Oakland-Tennessee game with Marcus Mariota and Derek Carr. The problem there is I think they're both going to be highly owned.
They are, and I agree. I'm really looking hard at Mariota being a home favorite against Oakland. So I think Mariota may end up being my guy in GPP and cash just because of the running upside. And I think, you know, Oakland's defense is still so bad, especially in the secondary, that Mariota will be able to get what he wants through the air. I agree with you on Newton being a little afraid of the rust, so I won't be paying up for Newton in cash, but I think he's a decent tournament option. On DraftKings, he's the second most expensive quarterback behind Roethlisberger. I'm not afraid of the home road splits for Roethlisberger. I know traditionally he has been terrible on the road. This is still the Browns. It's the first game of the year. Roethlisberger smashed first game of the year at Washington last year. And Cleveland's going to be without Myles Garrett now, too, for at least four games. So I think Roethlisberger is in a potential really, really good spot here, even though he's on the road. Guy, I'm interested to get your take on is Kirk Cousins. Where are you on Cousins this week? Because I liked him early on, and now I don't find him in really any of my lineups, despite really nothing changing for Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I mean, that offense racked up a ton of yards last year. I'm a little bit concerned about it being a new supporting cast, how things are going to shape up there. And Philly tends to kind of slow the game down. You saw Cousins twice against them last year. He had decent games, but nothing stood out. 260 yards and two touchdowns in the first meeting. Looking for the second one here. 234 and two touchdowns in the second meeting. He had 234 and two touchdowns. I just don't think there's a lot of upside. There's not enough there for me to suggest that he's going to be able to get to 25 points.
Yep, I'm with you. All right, let's move on to running back. Obviously, Bell and Johnson are great plays. We talked about McCoy. Kyle, who are some of your other favorite running backs this week besides those top guys?
Well, you know, it's tough. It's odd. Usually in week one, you get a lot of value, and I'm not seeing it this year. I do like Devonta Freeman. I know he's splitting carries, but he is a monster. Just very, very efficient. He gets a lot of red zone looks for them. I think he had somewhere in the 60s, and I'm blanking out on their second back right now.
Tevin Coleman.
Thank you, Tevin Coleman. Don't know why I couldn't come up with that name. But yeah, he had somewhere in the 60s of red zone touches compared to only 20 for Coleman. I think against the Bears, they're going to be ahead. He gets a lot of work in the passing game. I think he's able to get you 20 to 25 points. How do you feel about Todd Gurley? Because I've tried to convince myself, and I can't do it.
I'm all over it. If he can't do it this week, then he's officially Trent Richardson. But there is no better spot for him. Home favorite against a Colts defense that is absolutely toothless. If he doesn't do it this week, I think I'm permanently done with Todd Gurley.
But I've seen this script before. That's the problem. If you remember last year, week one, they were playing San Francisco, and everyone loaded up on Todd Gurley. And just a complete bust. And I know it's a different offense, but the man has had one 100-yard rushing game in his last 24. Only four times he's been over 80. Part of it has been the fact that they have not given the ball in the red zone. Jeff Fisher drove me insane last year on first and second down inside the 10-yard line. I expect that to change, but I think he's going to be highly owned. I don't want anything to do with it.
Yeah, I don't mind swallowing the chalk with Gurley. Another chalky guy I want to ask about, Christian McCaffrey. Are you going to be overweight on the field? Let's say I think McCaffrey is going to be owned at least 15%, maybe 20%, if not higher. Do you want to be overweight on that or underweight on that?
I'm going to be underweight. I do like him long term in this offense, but I want to see what exactly it looks like. And there's a lot of buzz. I'm going to let everyone else chase that. If they get ahead in particular, I think you're going to still see a lot of Jonathan Stewart early in the season, a lot of in the red zone in particular. How about you?
Yeah, I want to be under as well. Rookie in his first game on the road. I know they're favored, but I agree with you on the Jonathan Stewart thing is enough to scare me off because I think Stewart gets those carries in the goal line. So McCaffrey's going to have to score from probably outside the red zone. And he's certainly capable of doing that. It wouldn't shock me if McCaffrey comes out and it just destroys the 49ers. But 49ers are a better defense, and it's a little too crowded right now for me to be all in on McCaffrey.
I got a question for you here. Same price on FanDuel, $6,500 as McCaffrey's Isaiah Crowell. Obviously, the game script is kind of scary, but what do you think of him?
Yeah, and Crowell is only $100 cheaper on DraftKings, so we're in a pretty similar situation no matter what site you're on. I would actually want to be more overweight on Crowell because he's going to get more involved in the offense. I know it's a negative game script situation, but Crowell also is still a part of the pass game. It's not like Duke Johnson is all of a sudden the third down back. Duke Johnson is going to play a little more wide receiver this year, actually. Crowell is a guy that's going to see more opportunity, and I think that you're going to see a lot of checkdowns from his rookie quarterback in his first start.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I think that's a terrific play under the radar here in week one.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. All right, let's move on to wide receiver. Who are some of the guys that you really like on FanDuel this week?
All right, my top play of the week, and I'm getting him in my lineup. It does not matter what I have to do, is AJ Green.
Yep.
He has absolutely shredded Baltimore in recent years. I think that's going to continue. Baltimore, while they didn't give up a ton of points last year, they were actually in the bottom 25% of the leagues in touchdowns allowed to wide receivers. And they just don't have anyone that can cover AJ Green. I'm going to let everyone go up and chase Antonio Brown for $700 more in a game where it could be a blowout early. Julio Jones, people keep wanting to pick on this Bears defense, but there's four different starters in that secondary this year, and I don't think the Bears defense is going to be as bad as people think. So AJ Green is my top play. The other guy I'm absolutely getting in is Kelvin Benjamin. Now, particularly if I end up pairing him with Cam Newton, but I just think there's too much upside for Kelvin Benjamin there. Other guys that were in that price range that we talked about, I think Eric Decker in a shootout is going to have a lot of touches, and Martavius Bryant. If I have to take a Steeler receiver, I think I'd rather go with the upside at $6,500 in Martavius Bryant than pay all the way up to Antonio Brown.
I think it's possible that Martavis Bryant has more ownership than Antonio Brown this week. I think people don't want to pay all the way up at wide receiver this week because you still want to jam in Bell or David Johnson, maybe McCoy as well. Plus Gurley's still up there and he's going to be popular. But Bryant is sitting there at 6,000 on DraftKings, and I think he's a reasonable price on FanDuel too. So I think you could see Bryant with equal or higher ownership than Antonio Brown.
So do you want to fade Martavis Bryant there?
Not really. In GPPs, Bryant's a smash play potentially.
Yeah. I look for 20. I'm looking for guys, like I said, that can score me 20 plus points. and all he needs is one. You know, you give me a 70-yard touchdown, which is more than possible in that offense, in that matchup, at that price range. It's hard to pass him up. Like you said, I do get a little concerned if we were going to try and be contrarian in week one. If he's going to be that heavily owned, then maybe I look elsewhere.
Yeah, it's possible. I think a decent way to be contrarian, I love the Green call. Green is definitely a part of that strategy, is paying up at wide receiver. So going to get, you know, A.J. Green and maybe Julio Jones or Jordy Nelson or Doug Baldwin or a guy like that, and try and find some value at running back.
All right, I got a question for you when it comes to wide receiver. So one of the avenues I'm considering is taking Aaron Rodgers. Now, I'd like to get Jordy Nelson in there with him, but if I can't, are you more interested in Davante Adams on the outside or Randall Cobb coming out of the slot, where the Packers have said in the preseason that they plan on trying to get Cobb the ball more?
Yeah, I'm interested in neither. If I'm getting one guy in the Green Bay pass game, it's Nelson because of his ability in the red zone and how much they force feed him in the red zone. I think Davante Adams is basically going to be on Richard Sherman's side of the field for most of the day, and I don't like Cobb because I think there are just better options at that price range.
Fair enough.
Yeah, at that price range on DraftKings, I can get Pierre Garçon for the same price. I can go up and get Kelvin Benjamin for a little bit more. And a guy that I think is becoming more and more relevant with each practice that Odell Beckham misses is Brandon Marshall. He's a guy that will get force-fed in the red zone, especially if Beckham is hurt or out. What do you think about Brandon Marshall as a guy that is sneaking in to, I think, a fair amount of lineups?
It depends on if you believe Brandon Marshall is done or not, and I am on the side that I just don't think Brandon Marshall is very good. The speed isn't there. The separation isn't there. I don't want anything to do with Brandon Marshall, actually.
Okay. All right.
Even if Odell's out, I mean, do you really want a wide receiver on the road against the Dallas defense with Eli Manning at quarterback?
I don't mind it this week. I really don't. I think that the Dallas secondary is still not that great. And if I would love to see Odell out there and as a decoy. That's what I would love to see, is Odell out there but not getting the amount of targets he would normally get. So I think that would depress Marshall ownership even.
Okay, so you're saying that if Odell is on the field, well, here's the problem with it being a late game. It's going to be hard to account for that. But mm-hmm. if, let's say Saturday, Odell Beckham is going to play, will that cause you to put Brandon Marshall in your lineups more or less?
Probably more. I think I'd be more inclined because I don't think Odell's healthy. I really don't.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so I think Marshall becomes the de facto number one guy and a number one wide receiver, 5,100. I'm willing to take a risk on that.
Yeah, he's not that cheap on FanDuel. Let me see if I can find him here. I clicked through the wrong thing. He is 6,800 on FanDuel. I mean, that's too much. Yeah, there's no way I'm going with Brandon Marshall on FanDuel for that price. Yeah,
I think he's cheap enough on DraftKings. So let's, Kyle, move on to tight end. It's a Zach Ertz mega chalk week, it feels like, especially on DraftKings where he's 3,500 and is just such a value compared to a guy like Greg Olsen who's 6,200 or even Jimmy Graham who's 5,100. Where are you on Ertz this week?
I like Ertz simply because I think he's going to get a lot of looks. I'm not going to play him personally. I think that the field is going to be way overweight on him. I mean, particularly for you on DraftKings, he's just going to be all over the place. He's still cheap enough on FanDuel that at 5,900 that I think there's going to be a large ownership on him, particularly with a lot of the top tight ends facing difficult matchups. I'm actually looking to pay way down at tight end this week.
Who are you looking at then?
Okay, well, I was originally going to play Julius Thomas. Hurricane Irma decided that was going to throw that plan into the tank. So I'm considering either Charles Clay at 4,600, which is the way I'm leaning. He saw an increase in usage in Buffalo's offense last year. I think that he's going to be a security blanket for Tyrod Taylor here in week one with them still trying to figure out what the receiving core looks like. And if I don't go that way, I'm trying to convince myself of this, but Zach Miller at home against Atlanta is minimum priced. I still think he's going to be the number one tight end for the Bears offense. I do worry about him losing snaps in the red zone to Deion Sims, but I think Zach Miller is going to see a fair amount of run.
Okay, that's interesting. I don't know if I've got the guts to go down and put Zach Miller and click that, but on DraftKings, I think it's for me, it's between three guys. It's Ertz. It's probably going to have most of my ownership. I'll probably be overweight on him, even though he's going to be mega chalk. I think the price is just too low, and he's probably the most mispriced guy on either site. I think the other guy's Delaney. One of the other guys is Delaney Walker. The other guy who I think is mispriced this week, Oakland, they drafted Obi Melifonwu to defend tight ends, and Obi's going to miss the game. So I think he's still the number one guy in Tennessee's passing attack. Oakland traditionally can't cover tight ends. So I think Walker's another guy who's mispriced. The other guy, I'm sticking with my brand here. I like playing old guys early. Jason Witten, he's only 3,900. He's going to be a security blanket again for Dak, and they use him in the red zone.
And he has some history of beating up on the Giants, if I recall correctly.
He destroys the Giants normally. So if you're looking for kind of a BVP type play, Jason Witten, you know, he's a dad runner, but I like him.
Hey, week one last year, he had 14 targets against the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason why he can't do that again. All right, so Kyle, that'll do it for our week one show. Thank you very much for listening. You can find Kyle on Twitter at Kyle Neighbors. So when his picks all miss, go and send him some angry fire tweets. You can find me on Twitter at Jay Solly. Only send me nice tweets with my calls. So we will be back next week with our buy or sell segment, our favorite plays, and best of luck in your DFS matchups this week.